So, anyone want to offer a suggestion what we're going to be looking at today? Do you remember? Hands up. Got to put your hands up. No one know yet. Audrey. The armour of God. Thank you, Audrey. Okay. So we're going to be looking at the armour of God, the link between William Booth and all our songs this morning. I was asking the Lord what we're going to do today, and that was what I felt he said we had to do. And we've been hearing about General Booth going out and preaching the gospel to the poor and destitute in London, and eventually all over the world. They're a great organisation, the Salvation Army. But I was thinking, Paul tells us that one of the things I found out when I was reading about William Booth was he'd come home and he'd be cut and he'd have blood all over him from stones, from bottles that had been thrown at him, because he went into places where angels feared to tread. He would be going amongst the East End of London where there'd be drunkards, you name it, gangs. And he'd come home and he'd be rejoicing that he'd preached the gospel, but he'd be covered with blood. And I thought, wow, what an example to us. Who of us would be willing to do that? What an amazing guy he was. And I was thinking about the pandemic. And Paul says to us, we're facing an army. At the beginning of this passage, he said, you're not fighting against flesh and blood. So it wasn't like William Booth. You can't see your enemy. He's not there throwing bottles at you. But you see, Satan's very clever. And I think during this last 12 to 14 months, we've all probably had those bottles thrown at us in different ways. Maybe a bottle of fear, making you so fearful that you're frightened to go out, you're frightened for your family's sake. It's very real fear. It might be a bottle of anxiety. How are you going to make ends meet when you've lost your job? We haven't worked since last February. And I can stand here and say, by the grace of God, we've never felt like we've had our needs met more than this last year. How amazing is our God? So is it a bottle of anxiety that's being thrown at you? Or is it a bottle of illness? Maybe you caught the virus. Maybe not just the virus. Maybe it's other illnesses that you're suffering with today. The enemy is real. And it's not what we can see on this level, but it's things that definitely cause us a lot of problems. We are fighting an enemy in this world. This world is not our home. At the moment, Satan is allowed to do a few things on this earth, but one day, Jesus comes back victorious. But Paul says we can be victorious here and now. And he gives us some advice. And he says, we've got to put on the army. So we saw how Elise dressed our wonderful little helper, Maya, there this morning. She put it on for her. And you see, I think sometimes as Christians, we think God's going to do it all for us. But Paul says to us very carefully and very clearly here, we have got to put on our armour of God. And I would suggest every day, not once in a blue moon. I have to tell you, every morning I get up and I physically, Lord, I'm putting on my breastplate, I'm putting on my belt of truth, I'm putting on my helmet of salvation. I put on the armour of God. I couldn't cope in a day without my armour on. And then he says something else, Paul. He says, and then stand. And then he says it again, and then stand. And you think, well, what does standing have to do with putting your armour on? But I think my son is loves his history, loves his historical events. In a lot of our battles, when we didn't have tanks and weaponry, they'd fight face to face with their swords and their spears and everything else. And part of their strategy, if I'm right, used to be to stand and look ferocious. And the army that could look the most ferocious, the idea was to put fear in that other army. Well, you know, Paul tells us to stand. Don't let the enemy see your weaknesses. Hello, my sweetheart. You stand. And you, when you've done all, stand again. Don't let the enemy frighten you. Think, okay, Lord, you've given me some armor. I'm going to put it on this morning. And it reminded me of David and Goliath. You probably all know the story of David and Goliath, and we have this giant of a man that the whole of Israel was frightened of. He was standing there, waving this huge sword, cursing the God that they served, saying, I'm the best, I'm the greatest, no one can defeat me. And this little shepherd boy, he tried the armor on that Saul gave me, and he said, no, I'm not having that, I don't need it. And he went and got five pebbles. And with one of those pebbles, he defeated the giant. Now, I'm going to go a bit further, and I'm going to suggest maybe that little pebble is that mustard seed of faith that we can defeat some of these enemies with, and we'll come on to that. So you might be wondering why we've got a floating head up there. Well, we're going to dress him, and I have to apologise. You see, I'm not good with detail. Ruth, I think, was driving her mad when she saw what I'd done, because they were all a bit bigger and a bit smaller than they should be. So apologies now for anyone with OCD. But we're starting with our Roman centurion. In verse 14, what was the first piece of armour? Was the belt of truth. Yeah, that should have been up. That was our scripture. So we've got our belt. So Paul says, take up your belt of truth. In Romans 13:14, it says, put on Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. So in the morning when you're getting up, put that belt of truth on. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what does it tell us in John 14? Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So let's put on Jesus Christ. Let's get rid of all the things in the world. You know, I have to write, I'm getting older these days, so I write a list of everything I've got to do in the day. And I tick them off as I go through the day. You know, and I have to put that one side. And I have to put my arm on and I think, no, it's all about Jesus. I'm putting on Jesus this morning. I'm putting on truth. And I think there's a separate, going alongside that, I think Paul is very simply saying, be truthful. You know, I don't know about you, but we can sometimes tell those little lies, or they call them white lies. Well, actually, in God's eyes, he doesn't like any lies. So we've got to make sure there's no lies in our life. And going on from that, I think it's even more. You know, Jesus told the Pharisees off and said, you hypocrites, because they looked religious, but they actually didn't love the Lord. They were just full of rules. And I think the Lord's saying to us, be real. Let's just be truthful. Let's be who we are before God. Let's be very real and not be dishonest. And let us be the same person here today as we are in the rest of the week. Let's put on that truth. And then the second one was the breastplate of righteousness. This is where you have to use your imagination. Sorry. It's a bit diddy, isn't it, to the head? Sorry about that. So we put on our breastplate of righteousness. Jesus at the cross, he took our sin so that we could be made righteous. And that simply says, be made right with God. It's a posh word for just simply saying, are you right with God? And if you think about the breastplate, what does it cover? What major organ, if you got stabbed in that organ behind this breastplate, you'd be a goner, wouldn't you? So what major organ is it covering? What do you reckon? Anyone know? Celia? The heart, yes. So can I suggest to you that maybe, just maybe, Paul was telling us to put a breastplate over our heart, to make sure our heart's right with God. You know, there's a couple of scriptures in the Old Testament. Proverbs, Proverbs 4:23. Out of the heart spring the issues of life. Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart. And then bringing them together in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, out of our heart, the breastplate brings faith and love. We have to, every morning, come and say, Lord, look into my heart. If there's anything that's not good, get it out. I don't want it in there. I'm going to get out anything that's pulling me away from you. Cleanse me, Lord. Anything, any sin. And then we have to put that breastplate on of faith and love. In Romans 10:10, it says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So with the heart, it's not our head knowledge. It's the heart that believes unto salvation, unto righteousness, sorry. So we need to put that breastplate of righteousness on every morning. Check our heart. Do a good checkup. You know, we often go to the doctor for a heart checkup. Well, we need a spiritual heart checkup very often. Let's look in, make sure there's nothing in there that shouldn't be in there. Every morning, Lord, I'm checking that heart. Is it right with you? I want to be righteous before you. And then thank him, Lord, that you paid the sacrifice so I could be righteous. And then thirdly, this is where she really got upset. As you can see. I think it was a hobbit. Okay, so thirdly, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. See what I mean? Yeah. It's a good job I'm not OCD. The preparation of the gospel of peace. So, Lord, every morning. And preparation means get ready, doesn't it? So the Lord's saying, you've got to be prepared every morning with the gospel of peace. So I've got some searching questions for you. Every morning, do you ask the Lord for an opportunity to speak to someone about Jesus? You don't have to answer me. Lord, will you put me in front of someone so I can tell them about Jesus today? Because that was the Great Commission. That's what Jesus told us. It's not about coming to church. It's about telling people about Jesus. Another question. So, okay, you get that opportunity. Have you done your preparation? Do you know what to tell them? Do you know what your gospel is? Do you know what Jesus did? Could you, in 30 seconds, tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you prepared? Very practically, have you got stuff in your bag? So you get this opportunity, you've spoken to them. Have you got something to give them? And say, well, it's been great talking to you. Here. You know, I was supposed to hand all these back, but I was very sneaky. I kept a few to give out when I speak to people. So in my bag, at the moment, I've got a couple of these letters with tracks in. I've also got, this is why my husband says my bag's really heavy. I've also got a little booklet that a friend of mine wrote her testimony. And it's a powerful little testimony. And I also, very often, this is another little flyer, and a journey into life. I always have to apologize if it's screwed up. Telling someone how to become a Christian. So I'm prepared. I've got to tell you. I'm prepared. If I have an opportunity, I will use it. And I've got my stuff there, my resources to back me up. Because you see, a lot of people say, well, I don't know what to say. But you know, all you have to say to them is, if they ask you something, say, well, I just want to tell you, I love Jesus. He's just a friend. This last few weeks, there's a lady in Tesco's. I was doing my shopping every week, and I got an opportunity to share my testimony with her. Lovely young girl. The other week, she was desperately looking for Neil and I at the checkout. So we went over, and we had a good old chat to her. Neil said to her, do you know, have you got any Christian influence in your family? She said, oh, my grandparents are Christians. He said, well, I think God's got his hand on your life. He said, oh, I do hope so. Well, you see, this is me being always looking for an opportunity. So I thought, right, Lord, get the bait. What bait? You know, Jesus said, I've made you fishers of men. Fisherman has different bait for different people. Well, so I believe. If I had a fisherman, I'd ask them. So you might have those horrible little worms you put on the hook and put them in. And then you might have those fancy flies that you put in for a different type of fish. After that, I don't know, so apologies. Well, as a Christian, we've got to be fishers of men. So, Lord, what can I give to that girl now? What can I do next? We've opened the door. What can I do next? So Ruth and I went shopping. I had it in my bag and I saw her. So I was over there. I said, I just want to give you something, sweetheart. So I gave her one of our letters and I gave her the little testimony of Michelle. And I put my phone number on the back. And I said, if you ever want to talk, there's my phone number. Bless her heart. She texted me last night. Wonderful text saying, well, I don't know what I'm into, whether I'm into God, but it's a lovely book, a lovely story, and thank you so much, and you're so sweet, and da 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 da. And I just went back and I said, look, I said, I love Jesus. I said, and when I meet people like you, I want to share the hope that I've got in me, and that's Jesus. And that's all I said to her. And she come back, she said, thank you so much. I said, just text me if you ever want more. So I've done my fishing, because I want to encourage you. It's not up to you to save anyone. The Holy Spirit does that. But it's up to us to tell them. And, you know, some people will say to me, yeah, but you're okay at it. Do you know my knees knock? I'm not. I have to force myself. People say, but it's natural. I said, no, it's not. I have to prepare myself and think, Lord, I've got to tell them. I've got to tell them. Help me. When I used to go on the train when Mum was alive, I used to go and look after her once a week. And I'd always pray, Lord, give me an opportunity to speak to someone on the train. And they probably thought I was a bit of a stalker, but I'd look around where I was going to sit. You know, I'd be thinking, who is it, Lord? Who is it? And I'd go and sit by someone and I'd think, how do I get in here? How do I get here? And, you know, sure enough, every time I got an opportunity to tell them of Jesus. You know, we've got to be prepared. And you might say, but I'm not an evangelist. You don't have to be. There's so much stuff that you can give to people. And all you simply have to say is, I love Jesus and I'd love you to know him too. So have a little read of this. And if they ask you, you know, a lot of people say, but I don't know if they ask me a complicated question. Well, all you have to say is, I don't know. I don't know the answer. But I've got someone who might know it. Would you like me to ask them to talk to you? So don't let Satan put that fear in, saying, oh, they'll think you're weird, they'll think you're awful. You know, if you say anything, you'll lose a friend. Well, you know, Jesus said you might lose friends for my gospel's sake. But we've got to be prepared. You know, there's a lot of people out there, especially at this time, who are desperate. They need a hope. They really do need a hope. And it's up to us to tell them. Not to us to always save them, but it's up to us to tell them. And don't worry if you get all your words mixed up and all up and down and all back to front. God will sort that out. All he wants is for you to tell someone Jesus. So, preparation of the gospel. Are you prepared? And as I say, I've got loads of stuff that I take out with me. So if anyone ever wants anything to take out of them, I can tell them what to take and how to do it. And just a few pointers, because I've learned over the years how to be a fisherwoman and put the right bait on. And sometimes it's just about loving people. We had an occasion once where a lady I knew, and her house flooded. She'd just started coming to our ladies' meetings. And the Lord said to me, you've got to go and help her clean the house out. And I'm thinking, I've got a bad back, Lord. I've got this, I've got that, you know, really, Lord. Anyhow, I did go and I helped. And I didn't do an awful lot. But, you know, she told everyone. It meant so much to her that I'd gone to try and help her clean her house out. And I was thinking, well, I never told her about you, Lord. She says you didn't have to. That was the bait for her. And she gave her life to the Lord, believe it or not long after. You know, we've just got to look for that bait. Lord, what's the bait? How do we bring someone to you? So the fourth one is the shield of faith. This isn't too bad, is it? And the word used in this is, because the Romans used to have, I didn't know this either till I did my research, they used to have two shields. One was a little round one and one was this long shield. Well, actually it is out of proportion because it should cover him. And this shield was supposed to, in a battle, they could have gone behind it and completely covered them head to foot. No, nothing could get through. And there's another sermon in that, because what they used to do is do the tortoise, where they all sort of went together and was completely shielded. So there's something about being a church and helping each other in that. But we'll talk about individually. So we've got to take up, and he says, take up your shield of faith. A lot of people say, oh, Lord, if only I had faith, if only I had faith. You've got to take it up. Well, how do I take it up, Susan? How am I going to take up that shield of faith? Well, you've had this before, because this is one of my favourites. And in Romans 10, 17, it says, faith comes by hearing the word. How do you get faith? I want to challenge you. How many, you know, I come on a Sunday, I listen to Nathan. I listen to probably one talk a day off the internet, someone speaking about Christian things. And faith builds up as we're talking, as we're listening. Faith will come and it's active, it will come. But we have to put the work in. And you see, you only need, Jesus says, you only need a mustard seed of faith. And have you ever seen a mustard seed? It's minute. That's all you need, that mustard seed of faith. And with it, you can quench those fiery darts. So I'm going to say something to you. So all of a sudden, you're sitting there and out of the blue, you feel a little bit down. So you'll get a fiery dart coming in saying, oh, you're rubbish. You'll call yourself a Christian. Anyone felt like that? Call yourself a Christian. You never do anything. Oh, you're rubbish. Well, now at this point, what you've got to do is you've got to take up your shield of faith and you've got to hold it against that fiery dart and say, well, I am. Not because of anything I did. That's the wonderful thing, isn't it? It's because of what Jesus did. So there, take it. Quenched. Gone. And next time it comes, your faith grows. And you think, take up the shield of faith. You really think someone loves you? Yes, because it says in here, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So there, quenched. Shut up. That's how you deal with those enemies that come, those fiery darts. And they usually come from left side. You're not expecting it. You're going along and everything's great. Then all of a sudden, something happened. Bang, you're on the deck. Get your shield of faith up, folks. Quench it. So then the next one is the helmet of salvation. She'll like this because this fitted. I thought this was quite good, actually. Hey?
Side on.
Oh, there we go. I didn't notice it was side on. Probably did it without my glasses. And what does the helmet protect? Your head. What does it protect? Your head. Now, if I don't know, my husband used to say, he was always saying, a woman's mind, he can't understand. He said, you'll get one little thought, and the next thing, it's built up huge. So it'll be, he'll come here and say, oh, I like that dress. Oh, do you not like the other one? What was wrong with last week's dress? Anyone? You know, and he'd be like, but I've just said, no, well, okay, if you don't like this dress, I won't wear it again. You know, we can build it up, can't we? I mean, that's a silly example. But a more serious example is, like I just said, you'll get that fiery dart, and it'll say you're no good. And then you'll go down and down and down till you're feeling lousy, and you just can't pick yourself up. Well, I want to give you, Paul gives us that solution in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3-6. And I have to tell you, I know this off by heart. That's how much I need it. And it says, we don't walk in the flesh. We do not war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself. So in other words, when that thought comes in, you get rid of it. You cast it down. And I've known this for many years. So very often, I'll get that thought, and it'll come in. It'll try to have a go at me. And I'll literally throw it down like that, and I'll stand on it. I'll say, I'm not having you. I'm casting you down. Casting that thought down. This is a practical thing. Paul, give us a very practical thing you can do. So if you suffer with those doubts, with those anxieties, with those fears, very practically, you can get it and say, right, 2 Corinthians says, get under my foot. Bang, you've gone. I'm putting my helmet of salvation. And the other thing is, the helmet of salvation is, you're saved. And that's the hope of glory. That should fill you with such an assurance that we have our hope in Jesus Christ, and nothing can change that. We are saved. We didn't earn it. You don't have to follow 10 rules to be saved. That isn't how it works. It's God is rich in mercy. He's rich in grace. Oh, isn't that wonderful? So when those thoughts come, say, no, I'm saved. God saved me. I didn't do it. Yeah, I am a rubbish Christian, but thankfully, God loves me just the same. Helmet of salvation, so important. And then the next one is our sword of the Spirit.
Which should be small.
Oh, right, sorry. She's fussy, that one. Now, if you notice, the rest of this armour are all sort of non-aggressive or protective. But your sword is the first aggressive piece of armour. And in Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Oh, yeah, done. You know. This is our aggressive weapon. This is how you can fight that warfare on a, you can't see it. And you know, it's so hard, and don't think I'm lowering anyone who gets depressed. It's hard. You feel you can't get yourself up. I've been there. But I can say, God has taught me these over the years. This is how we fight those areas of our lives that we feel we're defeated in, and we can be victorious. And it's the word of God. Someone says to you, you're rubbish, you're fat, no body image, you know, people have maybe put you down. Do you know what you need to do? You need to get your sword out. Psalm 139 says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So when that thought comes along, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Next one comes. Oh, why would God ever choose me? Ephesians 1. Do you know the Lord chose you before the beginning of time? Now, if that doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what. Before he even made the earth, he knew you were going to be sitting here today and know Jesus Christ. How wonderful is that? He chose you. So next time you're feeling a bit, same chapter. Maybe you've had a really rough life. Maybe you've had a bad father, bad mother. Maybe you've been abused in some way. And you just feel a little bit, you find it hard to connect with God because of that, because your father wasn't loving. Ephesians 1. You have been accepted in the Beloved. You're not rejected by God the Father. You've been accepted. So you use it when those thoughts come up. Dan and Ruth at school, when they went to school, you know, I'd prepare them again. So I'd give them a little thing in their pocket from the day they started school, and it was 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. You have not inherited a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And I'd say to them, now, if you get a bit nervous, go into the toilets, get it out, read it. And they did, didn't you? And they eventually learnt it off by heart. But they used that weapon when they started getting a bit nervous. Get the word, get the sword out. I was barren for 6 years, couldn't have children. But God had given me a scripture in Psalm 27, 13 and 14. He said, I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I will wait for the Lord. Didn't realize it was going to be 6 years, mind you. Yea, I will wait for the Lord. I will take courage. Every month I'd be in floods of tears, but I would be using that sword and I'd say, no, Lord, you've promised me. 6 years later, I got Ruth. A year later, got Dan. God's faithful. But sometimes we have to battle to use the sword of the Spirit. And then I was thinking about faith. And I just wanted to share this little testimony. It's a bit of fun, really. But little Maya and the Tucker family, every night, they say the prayers together. And Maya suddenly decided, out of the blue, to start praying for a baby brother. And Leanne and Darren were like looking at each other saying, what? We're not having any more kids. Anyhow, then they had Bentley. And she thought that was it. Maya was praying for a baby brother. And guess what? God answered her prayer, whether they liked it or not. And they now have their little baby brother. That's faith. Out of the mouth of children, faith. She took up her shield of faith. That's what she wanted. Going back, take a leaf out of Jesus' book. When he confronted Satan in the wilderness, did he argue with him? No. He just said, it is written. Three important words for all of us. It is written. When you're under attack, don't try and argue. Just say, it is written. And you use the scripture. And if anyone has something that is bothering them, I can give you a scripture for it. Because I live my life according to this. I wouldn't be telling you otherwise. That's how I get through battles. I couldn't cope otherwise, through the word of God. And then you might think, well, that's it, Susan, there's no more weapons, but I want to give you one more, because at the bottom of that passage, there's one more. Pray. With all prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God. Prayer is a weapon, folks. When we pray, we shouldn't be surprised when we get answers, like little one there. When we pray, God answers. You know, we've just taken all these leaflets out to the village and we might think, well, maybe we haven't had much response yet, maybe no one's rung up yet, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, there was a lot of prayer and fasting going into that. So those seeds have been sown and I believe we'll reap a harvest at some stage, but that's in God's time, not ours. But we have to continue to pray. I think, is it George Muller would never give up on anyone. And he would pray for people until they saw the answer. He started a children's home in Bristol. And by faith, he would pray the money in for that children's home. And it grew massively. He kept praying, the money would come in. And he had a friend who he prayed for years for, never came to know the Lord. He died, George Muller. And the week after he died, this friend came to know the Lord. He'd never given up praying. We have to pray. We really have to pray, and we will see God move when we pray. That's our other weapon. That's our secret weapon. Satan hates a praying Christian, let me tell you. So there we have it. There's our, well, Paul's ideas of how we can fight our enemies. And, you know, I stand here, and I can never tell you anything I don't do myself, and I'm not lifting myself up, because I go through some battles, let me tell you. But if I didn't put that weapon, those weapons on, I'd be down and out, let me tell you. God is faithful. And if it says it in this word, then we've got to believe it. You know, there's a lot of, unfortunately, in the C of E now and other denominations that are denying some of the fundamentals of the Bible. They're trying to undermine the virgin birth. You know, did Jesus raise from the dead? Did this happen? You know, the parting of the Red Sea, well, there's a little mite that comes every year and... You know, and these people try and undermine God's word because they know it's powerful. God's word is faith. And if we follow the instructions the Maker has given us, we would be able to defeat some of these things that come against us. So That's our message this morning. Let's remember to put our armour on every day without fail. And then we're not coming out sort of a little bit wounded and a little bit weak. We're coming out, right, I'm ready for you. I'm up for the battle. I'm up for this battle. I'm prepared. So let's pray. Father, we just ask and we thank you for your, oh, for your instructions, Lord. We thank you that you didn't leave us without those weapons, Lord. And we just pray, Father, you would enable us to remember to put them on daily and to be prepared, Lord, for whatever's to come. And know that you're with us. Lord, that was your promise, the last thing you said to us. Lo, I am with you always to the end of the world. And we just want to thank you for that, Lord. And just ask that we go out in the joy of the Lord, knowing that we can defeat anything that comes against us. In Jesus' name, amen.